All right. Luke chapter 1, very familiar passage of scripture. I will try not to hold you long. Luke chapter 1, let's start with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
Amen.
Amen. We're running around town, probably been to Walmart 25 times by now. We're rushing to see family and friends and giving and receiving. And I think every once in a while we just ought to stop. We just ought to stop. That's why we have church. We just ought to stop. And for a few minutes, think about what this baby is all about. Now, I'm not going to say all the world. The Muslim world doesn't celebrate this. The Hindus don't celebrate it. But the majority of the world will recognize the birth of Jesus Christ. They don't know why they do that. They really don't. They just know it's a holiday, not a holy day. We know he probably was not born. Well, we know he wasn't born this time of year. That was established by the Catholic Church. Probably born in the spring. The Bible never commands us to stop and recognize the day of his birth. It does his death. It tells us to recognize his death and his resurrection, but not his birth. But since the whole world's doing it, why don't we just stop for a few minutes and look at this baby in a manger? Is he just a baby in a manger? Who was he? Why was he born? What's so important about this baby above all other babies? Well, I got looking through scriptures, and I've just decided some things about this baby, and I hope you'll agree with me. I've decided he is not just a baby. He is the creator of all things. I got a lot of scripture. I'm not going to ask you to turn to them. I typed them out to save time. John 1:3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by and for him." He is not just a baby. He is the creator and sustainer of all things.
Amen.
Number two. I thought, well, he's not just a baby. He is the sustainer, not only of me and you and the world, but he is the sustainer. He holds it all together of the whole universe.
That's right.
Suzanne got me a telescope to view the stars. I think she's getting ready for me to leave. And she's setting it up so I'll know where I'm going. And I ain't figured out how to work it yet. I'll probably need to get you over there to help me with that. And, but you know, you can look through that thing and you cannot see the end of creation. They sent up the Hubble telescope. That thing they say took pictures of 100,000 light years away. Whatever that means, they can tell us anything. We don't know. And, but you couldn't see the end of the stars. You couldn't see the end of the planets and the suns and the moons and all these things. And Jesus Christ, this baby born in a manger, before he was ever born in a manger, put all that together and sustains it. He keeps it together. Now, I thought, well, Colossians 1:17 agrees with that. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hebrews 1:3 says, upholding all things by the word of his power. He is not just a baby. He is the sustainer of all creation. Number three, I thought he's not just a baby. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God.
Amen.
Dying in the place of somebody else. He is our substitute. Genesis 22:8, Abraham said, my son, my God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, for a sacrifice. Jesus Christ made himself the sacrificial Lamb of God. When John the Baptist was baptizing, he looked up over the hill one day and he saw Jesus coming down that hill and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, just saying he was Lamb, that's not saying that's what took away our sins. Him dying in our place is what took away our sins. Amen? So he's not just a baby. He's the sacrificial Lamb. He's the burnt offering. He's the promised sacrifice for the sins of all sinful mankind. He's more than just a baby. Now, this week, Wednesday, people's going to celebrate a baby being born. But I'm celebrating a Lamb of God that was crucified in my place, took my death in my place so I could be saved. And then I thought, well, he's not just a baby. He is the interceding Son of God. He's my advocate. He's my lawyer. He's my go-between me and a thrice holy God. In heaven all day long, the angels are singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I can't get the first holy, so I know I can't talk to the thrice holy. And Jesus Christ is my substitute. He goes before. He's my advocate. He intercedes for me. And when the old devil comes around like he did with Job and says, have you ever considered Ron Roddy? And he'll say, yeah, my son's already paid for his sins. Show him the scars of the nail and in your hand and in your feet. He is Ron Roddy's substitute. He is the sacrificial Lamb. He is the interceding God, the Son of God, in my place. And so when you and I sin as believers, now unbelievers don't have this, but as believers, we put all our faith, all our trust on him as the sacrificial Lamb. So now, whether we go to heaven or hell, it's all on him. I have no control over that anymore. And he promised me that if I'd call on him and I'd ask him and I'd receive him, that he'd take me to heaven when I die and he'd give me eternal life. And now he is interceding for me to keep that. Unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, he said in Jude. Now, it's him that's going to keep me saved, not me. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Praise God, hallelujah, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not always what I ought to be either. Amen. And you're not either.
Amen.
And I need an advocate. I need somebody to sit on the right hand of the Father, that when the devil comes around accusing me, God the Son, look at God the Father and say, the devil's right, but I've already paid for that.
Amen.
He is, he hath, he doth, and he yet will deliver us, he says.
Amen.
And so no matter what happens between here and my going to heaven, Jesus Christ, not just a baby, but the interceding Son of God is taking care of my salvation.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Well, ain't you worried you're going to send away your day of grace? Can't do it. He can't do it. He's my advocate. He's all. Did you know when he died on Calvary's cross, Brother Billy, did you know he paid for every one of your sins? Not just, some people think, well, he just paid for the sins I asked for that day. No, he paid for the sins you've not even committed yet that you will commit.
Right. Come on, man.
Don't act so holy. I don't see any angel wings floating around here. I don't care how long you've been saved. You still ain't good enough. You never will be good enough. You wasn't good enough. You wasn't good enough, you're never going to be good enough. So, I have an advocate with the Father, and he's interceding me. Titus 1, 2 and 5 says, through him we have peace with God. Therefore, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Listen, Hebrews 7, 25 says, wherefore, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God, by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession from them.
Amen.
Now listen, from the guttermost to the uttermost, he saves us.
Amen.
And not only does he save us, but he keeps us saved.
Yes.
I'm glad I don't believe in you can lose it. I got I know salvation.
Yes.
Amen. I got I know.
Yes.
This, John, 1 John said, this is written so you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life.
Yes.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Yes.
And listen, he said, this is written so you may know. I don't hope so. I don't think. I don't even believe so. I know so because it is written. Now God would have to be a liar for me to go to hell. And Titus 1:2 says to God which cannot lie. I mean, he's built in such a way he can't lie. This little boy right here going to school, he thinks he's healthy and tough and all this stuff. You know how college boys are. But he's built so he can't pick up this building. And it would be as impossible. Now I know his mama thinks different, but it's not true. He cannot pick up. It's physically impossible. Wouldn't you say that's right? It's physically impossible. Oh, shut up. Just listen.
Physically impossible.
And it's just as physically impossible for God to tell a lie.
Amen.
He's built in such a way that he cannot lie.
Right.
So in order for a person that's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a baby in the manger, but the one that lived a sinless life that we can't live, and died in sinner's place, and he didn't have to, the wage of sin is death, so he died in our place, and the one that rose from the dead the third day and now sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, we put it all on him, and they'd have to air condition hell if we went to hell.
Oh,
it's the truth.
Yeah.
Because he's promised that to us. Now, he's not just a baby in the manger. He is the interceding Son of God. Aren't you glad he ever liveth to make intercession for us? Amen.
Amen.
Brother David, me and you wouldn't make it. Wouldn't make it. Danny, hey, we'd be at the top of that list. Thank God there's somebody that's interceding for me. Amen.
Amen.
Now growing up, I wish somebody had interceded for us more. Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe we'd gotten saved sooner. Maybe if our parents had taken us to church like they ought to, like some of you ought to take your kids and grandkids to church, we'd have got saved sooner. Would have saved us a lot of heartache. Would have saved us a lot of bad decisions. And mom and daddy running, and grandma and grandpa too, running interference for us between them, God and us. And he's a good boy, or she's a good girl, and all that stuff. And God was saying, no, he's a sinner. He's a dirty, rotten sinner. He's going to go to hell. And grandma said, no, she's a good girl. And God said, no, she's a dirty, rotten sinner, just like everybody else. And if she doesn't get born again, she's going to go to hell. And they were interceding for us the wrong way.
Yeah.
We used to take kids to Awana. We had the first Awana program at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in York, in York County. We run about, I don't know, 100 and something up there. We had a good time. Me and my wife drive a bus, take about 50 or 60 I think it was on Monday nights. I think maybe that's where Tracy got saved and some others. But, hey, One day, this woman called me after Awana that night, and she said, my boy couldn't sleep last night because he was crying. He was about 10 years old. So he was crying, and he couldn't sleep. And I asked him why, and he said, because he was afraid of going to hell. And she said, some preacher up there at your church preached last night that if you didn't get saved, you was going to hell. And if you didn't receive Jesus, you was going to hell. And said, y'all scared my son to death. He's a good boy. And I told him he don't have to worry about going to hell. I was going to take care of him, and God would never send a good boy like that to hell. And he'll never be back to your church. Now, that woman became an advocate for that boy the wrong way.
Yes.
Well, she should have said, yes, yes, son, you are a sinner. And yes, Jesus did die for your sins. And yes, you need to be saved, or you will not go to heaven. And he didn't have to understand that. All he needed to do was believe that. But she did not do that. She did not. Now, thank God I've got an advocate that is the right kind of advocate. Amen. Don't tell me I'm a good boy. I know I'm not. Amen? I fight this thing every day, all day long. This is the worst enemy I got right here. I look in the mirror and see that old, wicked old man. I have to say, Lord, help him. Help him, Lord. And see, God the Son, not just a baby, but God the Son, who lived a sinless life, died in my place, rose from the dead the third day. Now he sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. Amen.
Yes.
Who am I? That family used to sing, I can't remember their name, they sang that song. Who am I that a king would die for? He's not just a baby. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's that baby. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be, we'll ever be with the Lord. Now he's not just a baby. He's the coming bridegroom of Christ. The church is the bride. He's the bridegroom. One day, we just had a wedding. The bridegroom had to meet up with the bride to get married. Amen? And the bridegroom took her off. Went up to the mountains or somewhere. I didn't follow you on Facebook because you're too mushy. But went somewhere up there or something, you know. And I took a picture of everything. I think they took a picture of rocks and everything. And the bride came to the bridegroom. And the bridegroom united with the bride and took her off. And now they're going to live in wedded bliss forever and ever and ever, we hope. He's not just a baby. He's the coming bridegroom of the church. Amen? One day we're all going to be clothed in pure, glorious white robes that were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And made us whiter than snow. He's not just a baby. Thank God he's not just a baby. Amen? Don't put him on a necklace and wear him around your neck. He's the coming bridegroom. He's glorious. He's beautiful. He's everything that we want to see. And then I thought about this one. He's not just a baby. He is Revelation 19:16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not just a baby. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. In other words, he's above every king that's ever been born. He's above every lord that's ever been born. He is the King of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he's not just a baby. He's royal. He's magnificent. He's wonderful. He's glorious. He's the King of kings. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a king of glory than have a baby.
Yes.
And that poor, and don't get me wrong, that's a beautiful thought, the baby Jesus. And what did Mary know? It says she pondered these things in her heart. No, she didn't know he'd heal the blind. No, she didn't know he'd raise the dead. No, she didn't know a lot of things, but she knew this. He came down from glory.
Amen.
She knew it was the Savior that's come because God told her. Now, so who is this Jesus? To the sad, he's their joy. To the discouraged, he's their hope. To the sorrowful, He's their comfort. To the helpless, He is their help. Amen?
Amen.
To the suffering, He is their grace. To the weeping, He's their consolation. To the fearful, He is their peace. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been fearful. Amen. To the forsaken, He's the abiding Savior. To the thirsty, He's their water of life. To the fallen, He is their everlasting wings. To the tossed by the storms, He's their anchor. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
Amen. To the weary, He's their rest.
Yes.
To the sick, He's their healer.
Amen.
To the lost, He's their salvation.
Yes.
To the persecuted, He's their companion.
Yes.
To the needy, He's their supply.
Yes.
To the weak, He's their strength. To the confused, He's their counselor. To the hungry, He is the bread of life. That's who the baby in the manger really is. Amen?
Yes.
He's more than a baby in the manger. Did you know that this birth of this baby changed the whole world, changed history, changed time, still changing people. And listen, wherever He is, He is Lord.
Amen.
Now don't tell me He's your Savior if He's not your Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
He can't be your Savior and not be your Lord. The Bible says He's our Lord and Savior. Now He saved me March 5th, 1978, but ever since then He's been my Lord. He tells me what to do. I have sold myself to Him. Amen. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You want to give Him a present? Present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If He saved you, you're let Him be your Lord.
Amen.
He's more than a baby in a manger. We got a Christmas tree. We just decorated. I like Christmas. I wear Christmas socks.
I'll come back and leave him home. How's that?
Amen. I like Christmas, but you know what? I don't want to leave Him in the manger.
No.
I want to see Him for who He really
yes.
is. Now, sad to say, a lot of people, just like I was growing up, all I saw was a little baby in a manger.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard little stories about little drummer boys and little donkeys
yeah.
and little cows and things like that that had absolutely nothing to do with the King of Glory.
Come on now. Yeah.
And it messed me up. And it messed a lot of other people up too. Listen, why don't we go out of here today and everywhere we go and they get talking about Jesus being born and say, yes, He was. But thank God He was more than a baby. Amen. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And people will look at you like you got the plague. What? What are you talking about? And you have the opportunity to tell them what Jesus means to you. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my sustainer. He's my supplier. He's my forgiver. He's my long-suffering one. He's my sympathetic one. He's my compassionate one. And it's like old Dr. Charles Weigel wrote that song, that old Nazarene preacher back in the early 1900s. He said, nobody ever loved me like Jesus.
Amen.
And when everybody else walks out, He'll walk in.
Yes,
He
will.
But you're going to have to see yourself for what you really are.
Yeah.
In need of a Savior.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to see, though your sins be as scarlet,
yeah.
He shall wash them white as snow.
Yes,
you're going to have to see what you are.
Yes.
And then you can see what that baby really is.
Amen.
He's the Savior of the world.
Yes.
He's not Santa Claus. He's not Saint Nick. But some of you have replaced Saint Nick for Savior in your house with your children. Saint Nick's make-believe. He don't see what you're doing. He don't know when you're awake. He don't know when you sleep. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Do not ever replace the real Jesus with a counterfeit. I said it last week and I'm through. In the tribulation period, there'll be two prophets come.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to preach on the streets of Jerusalem during the tribulation period. When the church is taken out, nobody's left but lost people.
Yeah.
And while they're preaching, they're going to, the Antichrist is going to have them killed. And they're going to lay in the streets for 3 days and three nights. And you know what it says the world to do? They're going to exchange gifts and celebrate 3 days and three nights while those prophets lay in the street and their bodies deteriorate. Then on that third day, God's going to raise them up from the dead and take them up. But you know what that tells me? These people will still have Christmas without a Christ. Let's take him out of the manger. Let's sing about him in the manger, but let's take him out. Let's give him the glory and the honor and the praise that he deserves. Let's give him a gift of ourselves. Can we do that?
Amen.
If you're not saved today, you need to see him as a Savior. If you are saved, you need to see him as your supplier and your advocate. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the inerrant.